Welcome back, Sega fans, to the Sega Guys podcast. With me, as always, it's my partner in crime, it's James the Sega-holic. How you doing, mate?
Very well, mate. Very well. Yourself?
Very good, mate. Because we have got a special guest today. We have got a longtime friend of the show. He is the Saltmore Shoot'em-ups, the Noah of the unknown arcades, and lifelong James Pond flambeer. It's Bloggo's pal. Bloggo, how you doing, mate?
Hi. Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me on, guys. Awesome.
Yeah, it's long overdue, I think, mate. We've, mm-hmm. you know, been Twitter friends for God knows how long. We spoke.
God, long time now.
It has been a very long time. I think I remember the 200th episode of your YouTube channel. Now you're over 400.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's coming up for... It's not long before it's going to hit 450.
It's unbelievable. Sorry, so, how you doing, mate? Sorry, what's that, mate?
So some amount of content, that?
Yeah. Can't guarantee all of it's good, but it's definitely content.
Well, we like it. We like it, mate. That's amazing.
Good.
It's definitely entertaining. We'll come on to that. But, mate, I think what we're going to do today is we're just going to have a general chat about Sega, your history with gaming, talk about your YouTube channel, and then we'll get onto my favourite Sega. We'll talk about your favourite music, Sega console, and Sega game. But, mate, you've been you're like us, you know, we're of a similar vintage, so I'm sure a lot of this is going to be quite comparable, but just give us a bit of your gaming backstory. You know, when we click on your character select profile, what does your bio say? You know, how did you get into gaming?
Oh, well, do you know what, it's my mum's fault. She was enamored with Space Invaders and my uncle's Atari VCS, and that Christmas we got a Commodore 64. And she bought the games for it and a tape deck, much to my dad's disgust that she was spending the housekeeping money on a tape deck for a computer. she got me into it. And she's still a gamer today as well at the Vipold age of 78.
Wow. That's
brilliant.
That's outstanding.
I don't agree with what she plays. She plays World of Warcraft, which, what are you going to do? She got me into gaming. She's still gaming. I'm still gaming. Happy times.
World of Warcraft, mate, you know, it's pretty heavy stuff. I know they've made it more casual these days, you know.
She's been playing WoW and Diablo, things like that, Elder Scrolls games, things like that for the last, well, I don't know how long, last 20 years she's been on like a PC RPG sort of hits, and she's got the best spec PC I've seen. It's better than mine.
Your mum meeting her pals down the supermarket like that. Where you're at the weekend, go down to bingo with yourself. I'm going to rank up a couple of levels on World of Warcraft. That's just...
It's funny when she actually says to people, oh, are you going to do X, Y, and Z? And she'll say, no, I'm doing a raid. and that's the end of the conversation, because she won't elaborate. She'll just leave it at that. And if somebody goes, what? She'll go, no, I'm doing a raid. Leave me alone.
On the phone. I just spoke to a woman that I've been friends with for a long time. She's doing a raid, but she didn't say where.
Oh. Yeah, some people don't get that. Some people think she's generally going to do a bank heist.
But you say she's got a decent PC, though, mate. Does she tell her friends that she's getting herself an RTX 4070 or something?
No, she does drop it into conversation, but yes, she only drops it into conversation with people who understand, like her Sainsbury's delivery man understands.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's brilliant, mate. But go on, back to you. So the Commodore 64.
She got me into that via the Commodore 64, yeah.
So, because Commodore 64 was my first gaming system, but funnily enough, I got the Commodore 64 for my birthday. It was the revision, but I didn't get the tape deck till Christmas, so I had like two games on cartridge. But I'm glad to hear that you had the tape deck straight away. What were your early favourites?
Well, the first game I got absolutely hooked on, and it was a game called Radar Rat Race, and that was on cartridge, and it's essentially a reskin of Namco's Rally X, which I didn't know until years later. But yeah, instead of controlling rally cars, you control a mouse avoiding rats. But it's essentially exactly the same game as Rally X. But yeah, got totally addicted to that. So that was my first proper gaming addiction.
an asset swap, effectively, you know. Seems to be the rage at the moment with Power World got discourse doing the rounds. People are blaming AI and everything, and this stuff's existed for decades.
Yes. And I did tweet earlier that I can't believe nobody's made a rip-off called NTSC World.
Aye.
John Linneman actually did that. He did a comparison video on X or Twitter. I hate calling it X, on Twitter earlier. And he said, oh, Power World versus NTSC World. And the NTSC World was an old game, and Power World was running at 50 frames per second, 12% slower.
Yeah. Excellent. I'm glad I'm not the only one who thought of that one.
So that C64 then, is that your mum's, or did you buy that? Was that bought for you?
That was for the family. I have it now.
Oh, do you? The original one?
Yeah, still got my old bread bin. So, it was bought for the family when we upgraded to an Amiga, probably, 1988. The 64 was put in the loft, and then I dragged out the loft when I moved out. And that's mine, I said, and took it with me.
I've definitely been there, mate. Got all my brother's Master System games there that he'd forgotten about. So when we all moved out, it was like, well, what's happening with those? Oh, well, then. So I've definitely been there.
My brother, when he moved out, he left a lot of his stuff behind. And I said to him once, I messaged him and said, oh, I'm in Mum's loft. Is there anything up here you want to keep? Because Mum wants some of it gone. And he went, nah, just take whatever you like. And what did I have in up there? Phantasy Star 2, 3, and 4, and Shining Force 1 and 2. Yoink. They're mine.
I'll be having those.
So where did you go for it? So you had the Commodore 64, then you went for the family upgraded to an Amiga. And then where did you go from there, mate? Because over the years, you've amassed quite the selection.
Now, this is where it takes a bit of a sad turn. I then got from a classified newspaper ad a Master System. Boxed, Action Fighter, Astro Warrior, and Hang On for about £50. So this was just when the Mega Drive was coming out. So it's probably a good time to buy a Master System. And I also had a Game Boy as well. But unfortunately, 1992, Super Nintendo was released, and I sold them both for Super Nintendo with Gradius 3. So took a bit of a turn to the other side there from Sega, but I redeemed myself. Next year, I bought a Mega Drive as well. But you know,
so you bought the Mega Drive after the Super Nintendo.
I think it was 1993. I bought a Mega Drive. The year after the Super Nintendo.
What was driving that then? Was it? Because you have got a reputation for playing shoot 'em ups a fair bit. Mm. So was it the shoot 'em ups? Obviously,
it was great. It was Gradius 3.
Was it?
It was the promise of, inverted commas, an arcade perfect version of Konami's third entry into my favourite series. Of course, looking back, it's not arcade perfect. It's actually quite a shoddy conversion. But that's what drove me to buy Super Nintendo. It really was, I need to have Gradius 3. So.
And what brought you back round to the Mega Drive?
More arcade conversions. Specifically, after seeing a cheap-ish Mega Drive in John Menzies, I think, of all places.
Jesus, a blast for the past that.
Yeah, I think it was the Solus pack. So it was the pack with two joypads, but no pack in game. And I saw that, and I can't remember how much it was. It seemed cheap at the time. It was probably just over £100. Maybe they were clearing their old stock out or something. But I bought that and then trotted up to HMV and bought Strider. So
playing that recently is still quality conversion.
Such a good version on the Mega Drive, it really is.
I think it's probably the best home version, I think, still to this day. You know, if you look at the older consoles, but I holds up so well. And the fact that it was Sega who done that themselves, you know, we've spoken about that before. And it's like Capcom can't do it. Ah, we'll just license it and we'll make it for you. Mm. You know, it's so good. Such a great game.
Blinding version, absolutely brilliant. So the Mega Drive was bought on the promise of more arcade conversions as well. So
So back then, mate, were you into your shoot 'em ups right at that point? Because obviously, as you say, Gradius was your favorite series at that point, which drove the purchase of the Super Nintendo. Were you getting into your after you got Strider? Obviously, did you start gorging on the Mega Drive shoot 'em ups? So obviously, you got the Tower Plan games, the Thunder Force series. So imagine it was almost like Aladdin's Cave, almost.
Absolutely, absolutely. There were far more shoot 'em ups on the Mega Drive. They were easily obtainable because the import market on the Mega Drive seems to be commonplace. At least near where I live, there seemed to be a few import shops where I could just turn up and find, oh, there's Hellfire, oh, Truxton, you know, oh, at a reasonable price, I'll have those. So that was quite nice. But it was the one thing that kept on driving me backwards and forwards between consoles was arcade conversions, because prior to owning even the Master System, between the Commodore 64 and the Amiga was the amount of time I spent in the arcades.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about your arcade experiences. So, and I'll probably want to come back, double back round to your importing adventures. But so obviously going back to the arcades, were they a massive part of your gaming education, as it were?
Absolutely, absolutely. But I remember the first time I went to the arcades was, because I lived sort of equidistant between the Broadstairs, Ramsgate and Margate. All three had fairly large arcade scenes, Margate especially. One day I went down Margate with a mate of mine with the promise of going to Dreamland Amusement Park. But I was just blown away by all these arcade machines. I'd known about things like Star Wars and Space Invaders and things like that. But just imagine you're, 13 years old? You're full of loud noises and flashing lights, and there's this huge, great, big motorbike. It's red. You fucking sit on this thing, and you'd bank it. That was the first time I saw Hang On. Holy shit. That was a revelation. And next to it was another cabinet, which had a dragon on the side, and it moved, you know, the Space Harrier. And that was my introduction to Sega proper, was seeing those two arcade games side by side in their natural habitat.
Oh, the Super Skaters. Yeah, superb, mate. So that was before you'd actually picked up any Sega consoles. That was...
It's before the Master System was released. So, yeah, it's way before.
Yeah, I suppose the worldwide arcade releases were before we got the SMS over here. And that's I suppose that's Sega at their most kind of ostentatious. Them, you know, when they were in the arcade, there was nothing like that, was there?
No. Absolutely. They were completely complete showstoppers, those two cabinets side by side. And then it seemed not that long afterwards, I was down there randomly on a cold winter morning and something new had just been pushed through the door, Deluxe Outrun cabinet. As the first time I saw Outrun, I was like, whoa, what is this? And of course, the rest is history.
Is that the one that the giant deluxe out with the moving cabinet? Because we were playing that in Arcade Club, and
that's right.
And I wasn't aware they actually moved, because I'd never used one before. So I think
when you turn into that first corner and it slides slowly across, yeah.
Yeah, because you were recording me, weren't you, James?
And I started
turning, and I was like, whoa, what's going on here?
I didn't know it moved that much either, because that's what I say. Whenever I was recording the footage for the video of the meet, and it's got a fair swing side to side on it. You don't quite appreciate how much it actually moves, but that was the thing as well. Like, seeing those cabinets, you know, that Outrun cabinet, it looked as fresh in Arcade Club as it probably did back in the late 80s. It was just immaculate. The version of Hang-On that we played was the stand-up one. So it was just a kind of single cab with the handlebars on it. But that was still fun. And the Space Harrier, again, was just a kind of the single sit-down with the stick there. Wasn't the Deluxe cabs for those, but aye. You've got to admire what Suzuki was doing, though. You know, with those arcade machines, it wasn't just like the actual games, but he wrapped them up in these cabinets. They did the job. They were literally just meant to stand out, to draw you in. And then it was like an amusement ride mixed with a video game.
And it was like,
you know,
he got that, bizarrely enough, he got that funding to make these fantastic deluxe moving cabinets. And then Taito tried doing it, and Namco tried doing it, and all the other arcade companies, even Konami had a go, were making moving cabinets, none of which were going to work quite as well or be as successful, but everyone had a go at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it changed everything, because, you know, after Outrun, you got Chase HQ. Because I've been doing a video recently on Super Scalers, and when Yu Suzuki interview actually says that he made Hang On to defeat Namco's pole position. So even right back then, they were rivals.
Yeah, definitely.
But Hang On is just still. I do love Super Hang On, but I think the original, there's just something about that original, and there's like purity to
something
it.
Pure, yeah, absolutely. It's something pure about the original. It's, yeah, it's quality. And I don't see a lot of love these days for Endura Racer. I really like the full cabinet version of Endura Racer. That was good, especially where you had to yoink yourself backwards on the saddle to pull a wheelie.
Yes. So I've been playing Endura. So what I've been doing is I'm doing the upcoming video. It might be out by the time this goes out. Is Super Scalers on the Master System. So it's, you know, there's the arcade version. How did it turn out on the Master System? And I'd never actually played the arcade version of Enduro Racer before. And I think it's one that you really do need to have played in the wild, because I don't think it translates very well to main. Because what I was doing was I was going over the bumps and consistently landing splat on my face every single time until the timer ran out. So I was like, what am I doing wrong here? And I read later that you have to pull up on the, so you have to pull up and basically do a wheelie in the air to land it.
Yeah, and playing that in the arcades is very physical as well. Like Hang On is, you've got to literally tip the bike backwards to pull that wheelie.
That's a thing.
Yeah, work out as you're playing these games, isn't it?
That's what you want, isn't it? You don't want a home gym. What you need is a home arcade full of Super Scalers, and, you know, that's the Sega way to fitness.
I'm sensing a new market here. Like, you know, I ditched the kind of the treadmills and exercise bikes and whatnot. Just get some Outrun cabinets, some full size Hang On, you know, get a bike between your legs and start tilting side to side, that's sure. Work your core with some Hang On.
Who needs the Wii Fit? Who needs the Wii Fit? Who needs the Oh, brilliant. Oh, seeing those in their heyday, mate, must have been absolutely incredible. But you were an avid importer as well, weren't you? And I think you've shared before, and we've talked about the kind of the palace that was Rathbone Place Computer Exchange in its heyday.
That was
just
amazing.
Another level.
That was amazing. You could just saunter in there, just browse the games. Oh, look, it's, I don't know, Airbuster or Aeroblasters on the Mega Drive for like £6. Yeah, I'm having that. So many of the games I picked up, the classics I picked up from there, just on a whim because they were on the shelf. You just can't do that these days. It's unheard of to have that sort of stuff on a shelf at a impulse purchase price tag. Just doesn't happen, does it?
Well, if you're in CEX, as it's known now, you can probably get one or two DVDs.
Yeah. You can get an impulse copy of Terminator 3 for 50 pence or something.
24 all seasons on DVD for a fiver. No, what's worse is whenever you want to buy something and someone pulls that out of the queue in front of you, and they pull that out of a bag, and it's like Band of Brothers box set comes out after it. You know, you're starting, oh my God, every disc individually into a bag, and that's what served, man. Come on.
Got chucked out of Rathbone Place once.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I was queuing up to buy something, and this guy in front of me pulls out a stack of Saturn imports to sell. And he's waiting for the Till Goblin to sort through them. And I saw Darius Gaiden, Japanese version. And I said, the cashier is pricing them up. And I said, oh, yeah, you're getting £15 trade for that. And then he said, yeah. I said, I'll give you 15 cash for it right now. And the guy said, out. So I went out. The guy with Darius Gaiden followed me and says, that 15 quid, mate. So yeah, here you go.
I'd imagine that probably still happens even today, because like, the amount of times that I've clocked people like taking in like Dreamcast stuff and Saturn stuff, and like you're just looking and you know you're getting offered a pittance. I'm like,
yeah,
what he said, mate, do you realize there's a private market out there that would pay you a lot more for half of that stuff? But it's like, you'd probably get chucked out if you tried that, because they would see that as you try to steal trade from them, wouldn't they?
Yeah,
So,
yeah, yeah.
well, stop ripping people off then.
Though, so to be fair, yeah. I think people back then probably cared a bit more in a Rathbone Place.
Yeah, definitely. If you went, yeah, and to be honest, Rathbone Place wasn't too bad in terms of pricing when you were trading stuff in, because essentially then CX was an indie. It was two, maybe three stores nationwide.
Yeah, I think there was Rathbone Place, and there was one in Harrow, and I think that was it.
Was there one in Birmingham by any chance?
It was a few years later.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because I got my Sega Saturn converted in Rathbone Place. And because obviously I didn't go down there in the Mega Drive era. I went down there in the Sega Saturn era. And I remember first going in there, and it was just like two floors of absolute wonder. Big MVS carts just on the shelf, and you know that you knew that you couldn't afford them, but you're just like looking at them. hundreds of pounds.
I was in CEX in Union Street in Glasgow a couple of weeks ago, and they had I know they don't really do import stuff now, but up on the shelf behind the cash desk, they had a Japanese 3D control pad. And I'm like, how have you put that in the system? Is it just some guys went, oh, it looks like that? Or maybe they do it in different colours. Aye, there you go.
That's probably what's happened, isn't it?
I was like, why is that in here? That's Japanese. It's like,
but it used to be all imports in the computer exchange, and it was just
wow.
It was amazing. That's why I got my copy of Radiant Silver Gun for something like £37. And
yeah, I remember when that was affordable. I think I got mine for about £30 back in the day.
Yeah, Deep Fear as well. We got the PAL version from there for £35 or so. It's something ridiculous. And you look back and you think, oh, golden times, mate, golden times. But so fast forward then. So obviously, you know, you've got your YouTube channel. So I know a little bit about the origin story, but for anyone that's watching this show that hasn't got doesn't know the origins of the channel or the origins of the name and the image that goes with it. So, do you want to give us back a bit of background, mate?
So, I was thinking about doing a YouTube channel for a long time, but I wanted something which meant at least something to me and to people of a certain age. And me and my mate on Twitter, Sergeant Go, I've known him since we were kids, used to take the living piss out of the Fast adverts, the anti-piracy adverts from the early 90s. And we do remember quite vividly these are bootlegs, and there's one that says Bloggers Power on it. Here, YouTube, buy something off NAF off. We used to take a Tippex pen to it and change it so we're swearing. So instead of NAF off, or YouTube, fuck off. that's something that stuck in my head. So when I was thinking about doing a YouTube channel, that popped in, and I thought, okay, well, that's something which will mean something to certain people, but to everyone else, it'll be a bit of a strange sort of mystery. I underestimated how many people remember those adverts, to the point where I went to one of the Play Expos and Stuart Ashens was there. So I went up and said hi, and he said, oh, yeah, I've met you before. I said, yeah, it's Bloggo. He went, oh, yeah, you're Bloggo's pal, aren't you? He said, yeah. Yeah, I am. And he then released a video the next couple of weeks, which he'd been working on, obviously before he met me, called The Curse of Bloggo's Pal. And at that point, everyone knew what the phrase meant, because Stuart Ashen had told everyone. So the secret was sort of out. But the channel itself, in terms of motivation, as you know, have quite an extensive collection. But I wanted not only to sit there and play games, I wanted to talk about them to anyone who was going to listen. So that's how it really started out.
Yeah, and as you say, that is it coming up to the 450th episode. It doesn't feel like that long ago you did your 400th video. I think that was that was based on suggestions from the community, wasn't it?
Yes,
I think I got one in there.
Yes, you did, didn't you? I can't remember what it was now, but yes, you did.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was either. Sorry, mate. But but the thing is, like, every video you do is usually four games or more, isn't it? So I was just thinking that you've got to have done over 1,700 games or something that you've gone through.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the first, I don't know, 50 or so were just literally one game with a quick let's play and some waffle over the top. But then I started hitting my stride by doing four games that are loosely related around about 50 episodes in. And that format sort of stuck with me. Okay, I'll deviate from it occasionally. But it's nice to keep. I think four games in 20, 30 minutes is enough to hold people's attention. I don't think you can go 30 minutes in one game without it getting too boring. At least that's the way I see it in terms of videos I like to watch. I like to watch a bit of variety, so that's why I like to put a few different games into my 20, 30 minute slot.
Yeah, because we found that as well. You know, it's kind of, you know, trying to find that sweet spot for what holds people's attention for long enough. And what you said there about one game for maybe like 25 minutes or 30 minutes or so, we found that out to our cause as well, doing like retrospectives on a single game, and it's like, why is no one watching this? Because it's one game.
I think if you put one game on for too long, and say, for example, I don't know, you pick a game, you think, oh, I'm going to cover, I don't know, Contra Hardcore, and I'm going to do half an hour on Contra Hardcore. And then people check your videos that week and say, I was doing Contra Hardcore, I watched something about that last week, I'll give it a miss. But if you do Contra Hardcore and another run and gun and another run and gun and another run and gun, they're going to go, okay, so it's Contra Hardcore, but it's also got the, I don't know, the sound version of Metal Slug or something like that. And it'll break it up so that there will be something that person who just saw the video about Contra Hardcore will want to watch something else in your video. So,
yeah. Could you have got quite an eclectic mix that you feature in there. And the topic does change quite a lot. So I think one of my favourites was Sega on the PC Engine, which is down to you that I actually ended up buying a PC Engine. So that's your fault that I'm out.
It's my fault. Whoops. Sorry, not sorry.
No, it's absolutely brilliant. But yeah, it was, and then you'll do kind of Unconverted Arcade, Lost Arcade, Japanese only PlayStation shooters, and there's just that's the thing. You've got quite a range of different topics on there, to different games. But by the same token, there's kind of the comforts in the way that you've got your format set up and the way that you've now got the helicopter reference in every episode.
Oh, the helicopter. People complain when I don't helicopter.
So wasn't that your daughter's idea?
Yeah. She saw that it was a meme. There was, she's all, being 9 years old, she's all about the TikTok memes and whatever shit the kids watch these days. But she showed me this one of this guy lying on two escalators across the middle, and of course he's turning around because one's going up, one's going down, and dubbed over with that helicopter music. So I found out what it was and found the full song, and I'm like, oh well, I'll just drop it into a video. So here, watch this. And she watched it and she was like, oh, you've used the helicopter meme. And it sort of stuck because somebody commented on it on the video, and then I thought, well, each time naturally there's a helicopter put into the game, I'm just going to drop it in there. So
I think there was the video that was just on the weekend just gone. I think it was the one that's just gone. It's like a helicopter popped up right at the end of the video.
Yeah. That was actually deliberate because that was the toe plan shooters.
That's what it was, yeah.
And I did so badly on all four of them, I decided to put a bonus game in. And of course, Toe Plan did quite famously a helicopter game. So there you go. That sort of fits a demographic somewhere, I suppose.
Brilliant. So, we spoke about your collection briefly, but I think you've made it quite known on X that you're actually downsizing it a little bit. You've got some lovely Japanese games up for sale at the moment for the Mega Drive.
Yeah, I'm decluttering. I mean, it's great to have a collection while you're enjoying it. At the moment, I'm not. So I'm downsizing most of my formats. I'm getting rid of a lot of the stuff I don't play and only keeping the things that actually mean something. So I've gone from 400 Mega Drive games to about 30. And then Master System will follow suit, and so will Super Nintendo, and so will PlayStation. I'll get around selling the others as I see fit. But it's sort of cathartic, this decluttering.
Yeah.
And I've got, it's almost strange, I've got room to see now what I've got rather than just walls and walls of stuff. So,
I can see clearly now the games have gone.
exactly. And I was going to go there, but you beat me to
We like a sing song on here.
So, because I've seen that you've been selling some of your collection, and I think you've picked up a couple of ODEs, didn't you, or at least one that
Yeah,
you're
I've got
working
one for
on?
the Saturn. I've got a Satiator for the Saturn, which, to be honest, means I will slim the Saturn collection down to, again, the essentials and the things that I really like. I've got a Dreamcast one as well, which needs sorting out. My Dreamcast keeps resetting, so I need to take that apart again and see what's going on with it.
Dan
Which
talked
means I'll
about
get the Anki
Dreamcast this
console.
week. The Dreamcast has driven me insane this week with it not working.
Clean the pins, clean the power pins. Always a culprit.
Is
So,
that, and on the dark side, I've got one of the hard drive loaders for the PlayStation 2 installed now on fat PS2, so
on the dark side.
and that evil dark side.
Have you tried the satiator out yet, Bloggle?
Yeah, I've been
Have you?
using it
Aye.
on and off for God, well, when did I get it? It wasn't last September, it was September 22 I got it.
Right. No, just because remember them, Videopolis had a bit of bother with his because
He did, didn't
meant
he?
he, yeah, and he was adamant in that. I believe him because his stuff's immaculate, that his VCD slot on his Saturn was pristine, but it just wouldn't work. And he sent it to Dan and think, was it worked in one of three of your Saturns, wasn't it? It
Yeah,
was.
so it worked on the it worked in the power console. It was 50-50 on the modded console. And it wouldn't work on a Japanese one, but because I've got the Fenrir in the Japanese one, the Fenrir was just
They
completely
cancelled each other out. No.
was just overriding it.
No. The
I
only reason I
think.
was asking, I would hate to think that you're sitting there with it in a box until you turn your collection down and then you
Oh,
try it. And so I was like, just please, if that's the case, make sure you try it, but you have, so that's cool. That's all.
It is loaded up with everything that I own. So
Good
when I
stuff.
do decide to start shedding Saturn stuff, it's they're all backed up on there. But I mean, like I say, I am keeping games that mean something. I mean, obviously, you guys were quite vocal about the big three last week or the week before.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, I'm keeping both my PAL and Japanese copies of the big three. So.
That's something that you can relate to, isn't it, James? Because I think because
Oh,
James is
absolutely.
almost completely digital, apart from the big three,
Sega Valley
effectively.
VF2 and
Aye.
Virtual Cop.
Yeah. Well, and the bootleg sampler now as well, which I had to pick up. The video that went out tonight before about a couple of hours before we started recording this. Oh, that's what I said when it was like last week's show was making that video, and I was just like, oh, I need to try and find a copy of this. I know I can't run it, but I just need to pick it up again, and I found one for £9 on eBay. So
Oh, nice.
I've got that, but and I don't usually do any kind of pickups because, as I say, apart from what the 360 that I've still got, that's only disk drive based console I've got now is the
Wow.
360. Everything else has got ODEs or EverDrive cards, but the big three are just special games. They
Yeah,
really
I
are.
mean, I love having the PAL versions hold a special place for me for their impractical boxes, shall we say? But I just love how the Sega Rally artwork and the VF2 artwork, especially on the PAL versions. And then, of course, the Japanese versions, the artwork's different again. And again, I've got the memories of going to CEX or Raven Games in London and picking those up. So yeah, it's that they're special. They're the common Saturn games ever, almost. But yeah, they're special.
I
That's the
love
thing that
the
they break the bank.
No, that Japanese cover for VF2. I know the PAL one. The PAL one was quite weird. The fact that they chose to focus on showcasing the new characters, so
yeah,
like Shun and Lion are very prominent. Whereas I just love the Japanese cover. You've got Akira mid move front and center.
He was the poster boy in Japan for the whole series, isn't he? So yeah, I'm not so surprised.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I haven't got a Japanese version of Virtua Cop, but I have for Virtua Fighter and Sega Rally. And yeah, I think because I got Sega Rally and Virtua Fighter 2 with my Saturn when I got it in 1996, and obviously I had the PAL versions, but as well optimized as Virtua Fighter 2 is, it's still, you know, the Japanese version is the full fat 60 hertz experience. Yeah. So you do notice the difference, but gotcha. Can't help but love them. And you're into your modern gaming as well, aren't you? Aren't you, Blogger?
Yes,
because I do enjoy your yearly wrap ups. And I was quite intrigued to see what you thought of Call of Duty this year. And I thought it was quite an interesting surprise the way that turned out.
It reaches the point, and I was going to use this sort of quote or soundbite in the video, but it didn't end up making the cut. But you know, when you're a kid and there's a guy you hang around with and you're having fun, but you're getting into scrapes, you're getting into some bother with him, and then one day you realise that you're hanging around with him because you hang around with him, not because you like him, and in reality he's actually a bit of a dick. That's me in Call of Duty. So, yeah, Call of Duty's a dick, and I've dumped him.
Because you were talking about Modern Warfare 2, wasn't you? Rather than, and I know we're going off on a bit of a non-Sega tangent here, but yeah, you're talking about Modern Warfare 2, and Modern Warfare 3 seems to be a bit more of the same, if not a bit more disappointing. And then you pivoted onto, and I didn't expect it, onto Fortnite.
That was really weird the way that happened. It happened like we said in the video. We were so pissed off. I mean, shit, what are we going to play next Thursday when we get together? What do we do? Play Fortnite? Yeah, I suppose we should. Yeah, let's play Fortnite. It's free. What's the worst going to happen? And we got hooked on it.
Yeah, it is kind of funny. I think it's one of these things where it just, you know, us older gamers and kind of the community kind of like sort of down their noses at stuff like Minecraft and Fortnite. But they are, you know, and I play it with my kids. I haven't played Fortnite for a while, but I remember, you know, my son was playing on his Xbox. My two daughters were playing split screen on the Xbox in the living room, and I was playing it on the Switch. And between the four of us, we managed to get a victory royale.
Nice.
My son got kind of like 90% of the kills. But you know, it's a decent, fun game, and that's why it's popular. But it's kind of like, you know, people just like to look down their noses on some of this stuff, which is a shame, because you know there's merit in all of this sort of stuff.
I mean, it's because I mentioned in my video, because it's made by Epic, you can really see the Gears of War and the Unreal Tournament in the way it plays. You really can.
You can. When you're holding the aim down sights button, you can almost hear, you can almost feel yourself going and go, get in your hole.
Yeah, totally. And if you're, when you're sniping with a sniper rifle or a scoped DMR, it just reminds me of playing Unreal Tournament, that Facing Worlds deathmatch map with two sniping towers. It just reminds me of that.
Yeah, I think we're both big Gears fans on here, aren't we, mate?
Yeah.
Oh, aye. No, I. Let's say I had a moment I told you about on a work call. There was someone mentioned it because of the bad weather that a sinkhole opened up, and I instinctively just went, "Throw a frag in there," like dumb voice, and I got nothing back, mate. I'm like, my audience is not the younger generation who work alongside me. Unfortunately, I'm like, God, even Gears of War is now retro. When that was, you know what I mean?
It's running around work with something pretending to be a chainsaw lancer going.
Gears of War 1, we all get back to Sega chat, honest, but like, Gears of War 1 was the only online game that I ever got good at, and it was because of the Monday Night Club that basically we made from the guys in the UK from the Xbox official magazine forum, Remember Andy McNob was a moderator. Nobody liked that guy at all, man. He used to ban people from what I remember. But I was a couple of his, basically, well, eight of us, and every Monday night we would just go online and play Gears. That was just, oh, man. But I remember I got so good with that damn chainsaw. And I remember just we went into lobbies. Like, if there wasn't enough of us to make up two teams of four in the UK, guys, we'd go on as a team of four and end up taking on like randoms or like Americans. I remember I must have done my fifth or sixth chainsaw kill on this guy. It's like, can't you use anything but that fucking chainsaw? It was like, sorry, mate, I can't grenade tag and I'm absolutely rubbish with a sniper rifle, but I'll sneak up behind you. But nobody got that reference. Throw a frag in there. Nobody got it. So
wasted.
I know. Felt about that size as well.
It's like that Principal Skinner meme, isn't it? You know, am I so out of touch? No, it's the children that are wrong.
That's it. They're out of touch. It's not us.
Yeah.
Right, mate. So, Blogger, we're going to bring it right back round to your favourite Sega then. So, well, we're hoping that you got your choices already, all prepared.
I think so.
Good stuff. So, you said that you've got a couple of musical choices, and that's where we're going to start.
Okay. So what is your
favourite piece of Sega music?
Okay, well, I've got narrowed it down to three. I'm sorry, I can't narrow it down to one. So you've got three. First off is if you go on to one of the SST band CDs, specifically the Afterburner one, there's a version of the track called Afterburner, and it is called the Afterburner Last Takeoff Remix, I think. Anyway, it's, as you would expect, heavy rocking guitars as per Afterburner, but it's an extended version arranged with real instruments rather than using the sound chips from the arcade machine. So, yeah, that's my first pick. Afterburner version 2, I think it's called, on the SST band album of the same name.
Brilliant. Shall we play that right now?
Oh, yes, please.
Let's go. We'll be right back. Phil, and that was final takeoff from Afterburner. So, Blogger, you've got two more. So, I'll tell you what, do you want to give us your second one? We'll play that for our audience, and then your third one, we'll let us see that out in the outro. How's that sound?
Awesome, good stuff.
So, what's your second choice of music?
Okay, equally as specific and slightly obscure, go and get your Sega Touring Car disc. Put it in your audio drive and listen to Sega Rally Reconditioned.
Yes.
What's it called?
Conditioned Reflex.
Conditioned Reflex, the dance mix.
And it goes, it's like a pure rave mix, honestly. Yeah, you could imagine it in like Bonkers Nightclub in Glasgow. It's insane.
I mean, I was all about putting my game discs into CD players, see if there's any extras. And when that kicked in, I was like, holy shit, that's epic.
Yeah, it's so good. So good. Oh, that, but yeah. Play it. I've just sang it into it.
Yeah.
But right. They may as well have the real version.
Let's have the real version. Brilliant stuff. So yeah, I can relate to that. I used to have a wallet on my Sega Saturn disc that I used to put in the car with me to listen to the sound. And I think you've done this. You had the Sega Rally disc in your car recently, didn't you, James?
Mate, I take it the car quite often. See if I go well, I run to Tesco. Like, occasionally, my wife will say she wants to get something for the shop. So, 24-hour Asda, I'll fire along there. Yeah, the roads are quiet, mate. No, I'm not saying I speed. Like, I'm not saying like I'm literally rallying it along the road, but I'll just take the Sega Rally disc and cruise along the ignition. Du, 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 du. No, brilliant. Love it.
That's a shame games don't come on CDs anymore. You can't stick your dual layer Blu-ray in the
No, you can't, no. But then again, you've probably got the music ripped to your phone and you've got Bluetooth connectivity to the car. So, you know, that's the first thing I did when I got my new car is actually loaded up the song, which is going to be my third selection. First thing I played in my car. So,
So
I
what
don't
was
have
your
Bluetooth, mate. I've got an aux cable that goes to my lightning port. Mate, that's how old my car is. Bluetooth? Got an aux cable.
Yeah, I'm still waiting to get a car, but I've a new car. My current car is a Honda Jazz, and I've got one of those tuners. I don't know if you've seen them. You plug it in your cigarette lighter, and you
Oh,
tune it into your radio.
yes,
Actually,
God, yeah.
works all right. They're about a tenner on Amazon. They do the job. And what was I listening to? I had the Sonic Frontiers soundtrack on there earlier today. And you talk about touring car being a rave soundtrack. If you listen to the Cyberspace Levels and Sonic Frontiers, then
Oh.
that's a head banging stuff
Actually,
there is.
just briefly going back to Sega Touring Car's soundtrack, if you've got the AVEX tracks music on it and you go to the second stage, is it just me or does the first thing on that track say, "Are you fucking awake out there?"
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, okay, that
Yeah,
can't
for
pass the
some.
censors on a
Yep.
3+ PEGI rated game.
Are you fake? No, yeah. Do 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 do. I literally screams a swear word at you. Like, that's fine. Pass.
Yeah, no bother. And it reminds me of that bit, you know, the Mega CD game, Silphied.
Yeah.
There's
Yes.
quite low because there's talking all the way through it that like you from your wingmen and this, that, and the other. And there's a bit on one of the later stages where a large laser cannon thing destroys one of your capital ships, and somebody goes, "Oh shit, they got the carrier." Well, 1993, that's fine.
It's too far in 1986's Transformers the movie, and Spike
Yes.
said it. Had to cut that out of the
That's true.
VHS release.
Yes.
That's right.
Do you know what? I don't remember seeing, because I saw that in the cinema and I don't remember being in the UK cinema cut either.
It may not have been.
No.
I think it was something. It was just in there to get the rating up to PG-13 or something, wasn't it?
Yeah,
To
for the
build
States, yeah.
up.
Nobody noticed because we're too busy grieving Prime, that's why. Was that after Prime? Was that after Prime dies? Is
Yeah,
that before that?
it's after you've
It's
killed
when,
half the cast, yeah.
yeah, it's when Bumblebee and oh, what's his face?
Bumblebee and Spike are
Spike
adult
detonate Moon
Spike.
Base 2
That's
to
it, yeah.
try and strike Unicron.
I really want somebody to bring out, see if that's for the 40th anniversary. We've all heard how brutal the deleted scenes are in this, because apparently, like, some of the deaths were meant to be really brutal. Like, I just want, can if they ever animated them, can we just have the deleted scenes? Like, just we can take it now. It's 40 years later. We're
Man,
mentally ready for it.
the bit where Megatron takes on the shuttle and murders Prowl, Ironhide, Ratchet, and Brawn is like, holy fuck, you've actually just killed some of my favorite characters. Do I throw the toys away now? I mean, what?
Yeah, do you know that? I mean, we're going off right on a Transformers tangent here, but I think it's not uncommon for us, is it? But there
No.
is a thread on the Transformers World 2005 forum where there's a guy that loves Transformers because he came in through the Michael Bay films, and he's obviously a fair bit younger. He's like, oh, I'm going to watch the animated series from the for the original animated series. I'm going to put a commentary up of every single episode, and it's quite good because it's quite coming into him saying yeah, and this gives his thoughts on every episode, but he doesn't know what's happening, and you know, he'll be like, well, why are they doing this? This is silly, blah blah blah. Okay, this episode was fun, but he'll do his like commentary as he's watching it, and it gets to the movie, and it's like, oh, you can tell that the animation's kicked up. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, they're going back to start the final assault on Cybertron. And then it's like, oh, God, the Decepticon invaded. And then the next few lines are, shit, fuck. it's actually really, it's really enjoyable to read it. And but yeah, I definitely recommend that you guys watch it, especially because it's superb. And obviously he comes into it not knowing anything. It's just that reaction when he sees everyone just get absolutely maimed at the beginning.
Oh. Like see that overdub G1 stuff you sent me.
Oh, Dr. Smooth.
That named my car because I've had that much bother with it. It's like was it cut? He goes, I'm so old I feel like a piece of shit. And that's what we'll call you from now on, Cup. Shit piece. That's literally what I call my car. Look at them all, and it's covered in ice. Let's get you defrosted, shit piece.
Oh dear. Right, back to Sega then.
There we go. We'll put a chapter in for that bit, and we'll just warn people in the description that if you don't want to hear old guys talking about Transformers, you can skip to this part.
I mean, it was inevitable, wasn't it? It was inevitable with the three of us.
Mate, yeah, totally. When Thunderwing comes on, it's going to be a complete other podcast.
It is. It's like, just going to be the Transformers podcast, isn't it? With a little bit of Sega.
Aye, we'll literally just have to like siphon off 4 hours and have two separate shows.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, man.
So, Bloggo, tell us your third piece of Sega music, and then we will play that for our listeners at the end of the show.
Okay, right. So, the Sega Ages version of OutRun on the Switch has a track called Driver's Megamix, which is a medley of all three of the classic OutRun tracks. Again, remixed and buzzed up, and it is king awesome.
Brilliant. That'll be and it's named after me. I think that'll be the perfect thing to play us out to. So cheers for those, mate. We'll play that last song at the end of the episode. But it's now time to come to your favourite Sega console. So this can be an interesting one. We did have a very heavy Dreamcast waiting for a few years. I think it was we had four in a row that were all Dreamcast.
Okay, right. I'm definitely combo breaking this.
Yeah.
Definitely combo breaking this because my favourite Sega console is the Mega Drive.
Brilliant, mate. That's a solid choice.
Because it's the one that's brought me the most fun over the years. I can completely appreciate all of it. You've got the music from Streets of Rage, and then you've got the stupid farting sounds in Pit Fighter, both iconic. It's that sort of thing. Even at its worst, I really appreciate the Mega Drive.
Yeah. Oh my god, we played that in the arcade club. Remember
that arcade club, and it was just
bad.
Even the arcade version is just...
There's no redeeming qualities of that game apart from the farting sound effects on the Mega Drive version, really.
But yeah, it's the Mega Drive's just... Everything just feels a lot more instantly accessible, I think, on the Mega Drive. And I think that's what a lot of the appeal is. And I suppose that's why on the Super Nintendo, you've got your big classics and the games that you invest a lot of time into. Whereas everything on the Mega Drive, it just feels like that was the arcade at home in that era.
Totally. I mean, it was like Strider, Ghouls and Ghosts, Altered Beast, Golden Axe. It was stuff that you could find instantly accessible and just start playing without having to think about, oh, where have I got to in this? You know, like Last time I played RPG and then go back to it like 6 months later, what the fuck am I actually doing? I can't remember. But with something instantly accessible on the Mega Drive, I was quite happy to bung Ranger X in for 20 minutes, have a blast, then play something else. You know, it's great.
I was going to say, if with those games you rattled off, you're going to love a two-part video that's coming up soon, mate.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes, indeed. So, yeah, I mean, the Mega Drive does have those longer tail games if you want them. You know, you've got the Phantasy Star games, you've got the Shining Force games, Shining in the Darkness, Story of Four, which came a bit later, you know.
Salil, yeah.
It's another brilliant. You know, I keep meaning to go back to that one because I've only started playing it in the last few years, but I've not immersed myself because it's the same as you say, mate. I play it for a bit, and then I go away, and then I'm like Gandalf, going, I have no memory of this place.
Exactly what I was thinking about.
If in doubt, always follow your nose. Whereas you don't need as much commitment. I mean, sometimes I can just turn on the Mega Drive. I've got an EverDrive cart plugged into mine most of the time.
Yeah, same here.
Just hit the random game, and sometimes you get a little nice little surprise in there, and it's always fun for about at least 10 minutes if you've got 10 minutes to throw away.
Yeah. It's good to have that, and the library is so vast. You're always going to find something. You know, it's gonna give you a quick, oh, that's cool. I've not heard of that before. Which unfortunately, I've played so many Mega Drive games, I'm running out of surprises.
How did Mega you say Drive actually gave me a sorry, mate. Just the Mega Drive actually gave me a blast for the past as well because it was a game I loved on the Amiga. I'm sure it was Domark made it. Was it Domark? Was it no? Did they port it? But it was a Taito arcade game. It was called Volvide.
You know what? Don't mention me selling my collection. I've got a bundle of Japanese Mega Drive games up, and that's one of them.
Oh, it's like, it was so good. Like you start off the ship, and it can only go along like certain lines that it creates. So if you come off of the lines, you're basically exposed so the enemies can hit you. But you've got to basically cut away parts of the floor to reveal like underneath. It's like if you can trap these giant kind of snake-like monsters in like a smaller space, so you're restricting the space down, and then you can trap them and blow them up. But oh, I love playing that. And I was on the Mega Drive. I was like, holy crap, I've not played this in like like almost 30 years. It was
brilliant. If you want to play a game of the same sort of type that as Volvide, and end up on some sort of register somewhere, there's a game called Gal's Panic on MAME, which is essentially the same but with porn in the background.
Wow.
Yes, because I've not played Volvide. And when you were saying about cutting out the boxes, my immediately thought of the I've seen something like that, but it had porno in the background.
Gal's Panic.
I think I'll stick to Volvide if you don't mind.
Gal's Panic came out on the Saturn as well, in a very watered down version.
No, that's not going on the Fenrir at all, man. No. Just imagine. How could you explain that to somebody? They walk in, I'm just doing a video for the channel. It's like, no.
But you have got all sorts on there. I mean, you could. I think the library is just so varied. And the thing is, yeah, like you say, Bogo, even the bad stuff is entertaining. You know, you've got the very bad stuff, like, I suppose, Rise of the Robots. But like you say,
don't fan.
But no, would you say that James Pond is one of those that you there's still some enjoyment that you get out of it?
James Pond. The thing with James Pond is there's a surefire way of killing fish, and that's actually to nuke the entire site from orbit. It's the only way to be sure. And that's really what should happen to James Pond. I do not. My dislike of James Pond has been slightly over-egged over the years. I dislike it grandly, but what I dislike more is the fact it's been released on 20 different systems when there's games out there which have been released on one and been forgotten. It just really annoys me.
I love
James Pond 2, RoboCod on the Amiga.
Oh, fucking hell. Basil Poldoys, if he was dead, would be turning in his grave at that title music.
I guess I hear that name and I can hear the music.
Oh, so can I now.
It's like, ah!
That fucking fish.
Didn't he get a switch port?
Yeah, why? Why was that a thing? Why?
Why? Why did you make him angry? You knew what you were doing.
I know.
You know I'm on rum. You know if I talk, you talk about James Pond, I'm going to get a bit leery. Why?
That's what the audience wants.
Came out the switch, didn't it, Blog? Came out the switch.
Oh, but, you know, we were talking about how every game in the Mega Drive has redeeming features, so I had to ask the question.
Apart from that one.
All three
I
don't
actually understand. When I saw it was released for the Mega Drive, I'd already played the first one on the Amiga and didn't like it. And then when I saw, why would you spend £40 on a Mega Drive cartridge of this piece of crap when you could buy Strider or Golden Axe, you know? I just don't understand how it made it off the Amiga. And then to find 30 years later it's on the fucking Switch. Fuck's sake.
It cost me £3 for the barras. I'm sure it was in two discs.
So, do you know what's better? Yeah. Do you know what fishy thing you can spend £3 on, which is better? Fish and I'm chips.
Oh, there we go. Here, where are you getting a fish supper for £3 in 2024?
We've got a good one nearby. To be honest, I'll quite happily pay the extra rather than James Bond.
I'm thinking what you can get for £40. You might get one Domino's pizza.
If you're lucky.
But yeah, Mega Drive, mate, superb choice. No shortage of superb games on there. So we'll bring round it back down to your favourite game then. And I think we will press you for one. Now,
Okay, right. So again, it's going to change on the day of the week. But at the moment, right now, if you ask me my favourite Sega game, it's the original Space Harrier.
Oh, brilliant. The arcade version.
Yep. The arcade version can't be beaten. I mean, the full sit-down experience, absolutely. Okay, so the Sega Ages version on Saturn comes damn close, as does the Dreamcast version, but you can't beat that full sit-down experience. It's tops.
Yeah. I've never actually beaten Space Harrier until last year when I played it in Arcade Club and sat there with the hammering the credits button until I had enough to actually make it through to the end. But no, it's still fantastic, especially when you're playing it with the flight stick. And yeah, I know the Saturn port has the mission stick.
Yeah.
But it's superb, the Saturn port. But it's not quite there. But brilliant choice, mate. Brilliant choice. What was the first port that you played of it?
Commodore 64.
I don't think that's a bad version, to be honest, for the hardware.
It does what it can. I was moderately happy with it. I knew there was going to be limitations when it came out, and I played it a hell of a lot. To be honest, I was more happy with the Commodore 64 version than I was with the later Amiga version, which could have been better. But I think the 64 version did it probably about as best as it could do for the time.
Yeah, I think so. I've never played the Amiga port. I don't know if you have, James.
Yeah, also my first experience of Space Harrier was on the Atari ST. It was one of the games in that. But yes, there we go. Remember that big LP shaped pack that they bragged that it was like 20 odd games or something? It was like,
oh god, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it was like Predator, Afterburner, Outrun, Space Harrier, Bomb Jack, Double Dragon. Oh my god, Bomb Jack was great fun. I had a lot of fun with that one. Played that a lot, but oh my god, those Sega ports were bad.
They were. I keep on meaning to do soup because I do my Super Scalers videos from time to time. I keep on meaning to actually do the ST versions of these games because I haven't actually played a great deal of the ST versions of them. So expect that at some point where I can find ones that are significantly different from the Amiga versions, at least.
And the thing is, as well, people would probably go, well, you were like 10, 11 years old. Oh, I was a bit younger than that, maybe 9, 10. But like, how can you possibly have any case of reference at that point to say they were bad, which is probably a fair argument, but I just, they just didn't, like, compared to what I'd already been playing, like, kind of on the S team going rounds, other games, and then you kind of get to these, it just didn't, it was US gold, man. I mean, history has taught us US golds for Outrun was just, no, man, just don't. So,
yeah, the 16-bit computer versions of Outrun were pitiful, absolutely pitiful.
Yeah, I just love the opening on the Amiga version.
Love the Amiga version with
the opening.
OTT.
Aye.
I don't know how to describe it.
US Gold presents.
Aye. It was just like...
It sets you up, complete disappointment, really, because you're here we go! No!
Well, if anything, it's just completely tonally deaf, because Outrun is a chilled, fun racing game with sunny vibes and that, and then you've got this strum-dum-dum-dum intro, which...
But that was the Amiga all over the back, wasn't it? I mean, Bloggle, you know this. How many Amiga... Why did Amiga games... It was like, I don't know, like the 80s heavy metal gamers, like... computer, like everything had to be dark and edgy and heavy, like Shadow of the Beast as well. It's the most depressing game in the world. Like,
oh, especially when you die, that ending tune, like Shadow of the Beast, it was very well made and very well composed, but God is a downer.
Aye. Everything about, I mean, even like the Amiga version of Final Fight, and I never knew this until later, that the music that they used for the intro, which I loved, was apparently from another game.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, someone put it was only by chance. It was in the comments of someone who'd put the OST for the Amiga version up, and it was, I think it was back then when I got the Mega Drive Mini 2, and I played Final Fight CD, and I went, oh, the Amiga version had a brilliant intro music. I'll go and check that out. And someone in the comments went, yeah, this has been in a game before on the Amiga. And I was like, oh. That took the edge off it a bit. I was like, oh, it's not for that. Oh.
Deflated.
It was, I felt like Roy Hodgson. Oh. The gif of Roy Hodgson.
Yeah, I know that. So Space Area then, Borgo. I imagine that love came from seeing that and hang on next to each other in the arcade then.
Absolutely.
I suppose that was, were you kind of searching for that in the home after that? I mean, did that drive the purchase of the Master System that you got later on?
No, the Master System, that was a bit of a weird one. I saw it in the classified ads in the local paper, and I remember reading about it in CVG a few years before and thinking, 50 quid? Can't really go wrong with that. So I got Mum to drive me over to this random house somewhere and knocked on the door with 50 quid in my hand and got a console and went back.
What could go wrong?
Exactly. What can go wrong? Absolutely nothing. It all worked out fine. And I knew at that point games were going to be expensive. But it was that step closer to the arcade experience, even though I didn't technically have much in the way of arcade games on it. Even then running Hang On side by side next to Super Hang On in the Amiga, you could see the frame rate difference on a dedicated console compared to a computer. And Hang On looked so smooth on the Master System.
It's beautifully smooth on the Master System. The actual track itself moves so smoothly. It looks like it is actually being scaled. It's amazing, that port, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, did you get Space Harrier on the Master System in that time? Or?
Not for a long time afterwards, no. I played it and I wasn't impressed.
Oh, really?
To be honest, it was fine. It does that because the update's very jerky on the scaling on the Master System. Yeah. I sort of found it unplayable when I first played it. And to be honest, I didn't have the Master System that long before I got a Super Nintendo. So it wasn't until later years when I started really collecting that I just picked up everything I pretty much saw in second-hand shops and boot fairs. That's when I got Space Harrier. And now I love it. I love the Master System version of Space Harrier now, but back then I wasn't particularly impressed with it.
Yeah, I mean, back then, because I didn't have the arcade version as a frame of reference, so I was coming straight from the Commodore 64, and I thought, wow, look at these giant sprites. Obviously, I didn't realise that they were just gigantic tiles, and you could see the square edges around most of them.
Yeah.
But I still love it today. I've still got a real soft spot for it. And then I suppose from there, you moves on to the Saturn version. You mentioned the Dreamcast version. I think that's, is that only part of Yu Suzuki's game works?
Yeah, or Shenmue as well.
Oh yeah, of course it's in Shenmue, yeah.
In fact, when my mate of mine got the Japanese import of Shenmue, he brought it around and he was showing me it. I was like, well, where's the arcade? We need to go to the arcade. Oh, we've got to do this. Just fucking get on with it. We need to go to the arcade. I need to play Space Harrier.
Space Harrier.
That was my motivation for playing Shenmue, was playing Space Harrier.
Space Harrier, 100 yen. I should try it.
No, not today.
Somebody put a penny arcade strip, I think, back in the day, and said, "Oh, Landy, I must avenge my father right after I've petted this cat, right after I've got a gachapon for the vending machine, right after I've completed Space Harrier."
Aye. Hold on, I'm a bit hungry after all that. I think I'm going to see Tom for another hot dog.
Oh,
buy a couple of capsule toys. Hi-yo!
Oh, I was going to say, is anyone going to try and do Tom's accent without sounding incredibly off?
Ah, brilliant. Good old Tom.
Yeah, but then you get the if you play well enough on the Space Harrier, do you get the CD in the game, do you only get it in the tomato market if you do the raffle?
No, I'm sure you get it if you get it for the game. And that's one thing that always got me about Shenmue, because it's set in 1985, but he's got a Sega Saturn. What's going on there?
Oh, well, Suzuki was connected, mate, I think.
Very well connected. He's got forward 10 years to grab.
Hold on a minute, mate. That's what happened. Ryu actually gave Landy the mirror in return for a Sega Saturn.
Oh.
So,
or the mirror is actually a Fenrir in disguise. Didn't see that one coming, did we?
It plays everything.
Sorcery, dark magic. Dark magic.
I was going to say, a Fenrir would blow Ryo Hizuki's mind, but then how would he put your games on? You know what? I don't think there'd be. There's no internet.
No SD cards. Oh.
No access to archive.org from the Hizuki household.
No. Mind you, he does go to Hong Kong afterwards, doesn't he? And you know that's where you get your Bung 64s and whatnot from, isn't it? So maybe
get your GDM, your clones.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a friend. He had one of those. I don't know if you ever saw it, but he had one for his Mega Drive and his Super Nintendo. Basically, devices that used to be able to back up games onto floppy disks.
The floppy disk drive. Yeah.
And it was like, oh yeah, we can basically play anything, and it seldom ever worked.
Okay, so I got a Super Wild Card from my American Super Nintendo, like in 1994 or something.
Yeah,
and back then in 1994, ECTS was twice a year. That's the big trade show in London, and it was Spring ECTS 1994. I went up there and I met somebody through the classified ads in Superplay who would copy you Super Nintendo games onto floppy disk and then send them to you. And I said, "Oh, you're in London? I'm up in London at the weekend." He said, "Oh, you're going to ECTS?" I said, "Yeah." So I'll meet you there. I'll give you the discs then. Could you see a flaw in this plan? We didn't get caught, but it was dodgy as fuck standing in front of the PlayStation stand swapping discs of copied Super Famicom games.
Did they come up with a trench coat or what, Mike?
He may as well have done. I really don't remember what the guy looked like, but I met him at the Sony stand. He gave me a pile of floppy disks. I gave him a fiver, and we were now set for one.
Well, I'm not the police, mate. I don't remember what he looked like, James. I don't remember. Get interrogated. What did he look like, mate? What did he look like? Get a description.
You see, I'm living up to my name now because buy something off. Nap off.
God,
I need somebody to actually program the bloggers cloud game so you can just put it onto a floppy disk.
Yeah. And pass out some pirated copies.
Yeah. But just, go to a just go to a market and wait for somebody to turn up and realise what I'm doing.
Yeah. I love those stories, though. It's like, James, when you talk about the Barrows and them getting raided by the police.
That was so good, man, honestly. Like, I just remember standing there, like, shock and amusement at the age of, like, 13. Like, just this, that, the big scary woman that used to stand behind the cash desk, like, with her black briefcases full of discs. So he used to walk in, sheets on the wall, with numbers beside a game's name. You go up and you go, number 25, number 13. That was like, you didn't see the name of the game, it was a number. And they'd go into the case and flick through them. They'd give you them out. It was like £2 for your first disc and £1 for every disc after it. So even at that, Rise of the Robots was 13 discs. That was still 14 quid too much.
Yes,
you know what I mean? But I'm getting handed over a couple of games. In come the cops. Oh, brilliant. I actually witnessed a bust for piracy at the Barrows. buying Amiga games. They used to go and join mates with a pack of floppies and yep. X-Copy and just sitting.
Yep.
And you see, how many times did you get to the last three sectors of a disc and instead of a green circle, you got a red X or a red circle? You're like, that's 20 minutes I'm never getting back.
And what got me is that back in the day, the likes of Virgin Game Center and Future Zone would sell branded floppy disks. What do you think they're getting used for, huh?
Aye. Nobody's backing up their word processor document.
Somebody might put a kickoff two save game on there or something, but generally speaking, that it's going to get copied, isn't it?
Or they could be bought by a rip-off guy in your school. As I say, the boy that tried to sell copies of a cheat disc for Sensible Soccer to add overhead kicks.
Have you heard this, bro, guy?
No.
Go on, James.
Guy got a tank in after it.
A penny if it's what I'm thinking of.
So obviously, Sensible World of Soccer introduced overhead kicks.
Hmm.
But Sensible Soccer didn't have that. So he went around telling people that it was either 50p or a pound a disc he was selling these for as a cheat disc. You put this in before you load your game and it makes your version of Sensible Soccer updated and you can do overhead kicks. No, he was selling blank discs to people.
Yeah.
So, budding entrepreneur.
There's always that kid at school that has said fabled thing. It's like there was always that kid at school who had Indiana Jones 4 on VHS because my uncle got it from America where it's not out here, and it's like, you don't, do you? No, you don't.
I don't know what made people more gullible, believing that you could have a cheap floppy disk on the Amiga to add overhead kicks, or that if you made Lara Croft dance to the tune of Wannabe on the PlayStation.
Oh, I remember that one.
Like you could put her in the scud.
The
April issue of CVG. Unbelievable.
Mind you, they've got a CVG, and before them, things like Zap 64 had a long running thing with April Fool's jokes. Zap 64 had this thing called an emulator. So the Amiga hadn't long been released, and this company called Bluetech had sent them a preview kit of what looks to be some sort of device that plugs in the back of your Commodore 64 with a 3.5-inch floppy disk drive attached to it, and you can play Amiga games on your C64. And of course, it was an April Fool's joke, but that didn't stop people writing and going, where can I get it? Oh, can I get it? How can I get this? And then the next month, they had to print the full apology because people actually thought it was real.
Oh, man.
I remember a CVG one that had a Fighters Ultra mix from Namco and Sega in the back of it, coming out to Saturn and PlayStation in 1998. And that was...
I don't know if you remember, but I sort of covered that on one of my videos.
Another one, it was like Tekken characters coming to Saturn or something, wasn't it? It was everything all in the one, eh?
It was a Mega Drive game called...
I've seen that one, yes. Yeah, I think
it's essentially that game, but very badly implemented on the Mega Drive, where you can fight with the Virtua Fighter and Tekken characters.
Yes, yes, VR Fighter 2 versus VR Tekken.
That's it, yeah, that's it.
You think Liam Neeson's going to be a guest character in it?
Well, he has got a very specific set of skills, so...
brilliant,
I will,
mate.
I will find you and I will kill you.
I'll find you and take your pirate games.
It's fine. He can take this copy of Pringles I've got on cartridge.
Pringles?
There's a Pringles game on the Mega Drive.
What?
I did not know that.
Would you okay, do that stuff for face?
One of you two lucky people will send me your address and I will send you the Pringles game on the Mega Drive. Who's taking one for the team?
Well, Dan, that's quite a collection you've got there, mate. I think you should add the Pringles game to it.
Yeah, all right.
And then what has to happen, whenever it arrives, it has to sit somewhere on the shelf where we can see it.
I'll put it next to Optimus Prime.
Yeah. Take his arm out of the box and have him pointing at it.
Once you pop, you cannot stop.
Well, it could be worse. If I'm sending Dan Pringles, I'll send you Sonic 2 XL.
Is that the one where he eats the onion rings?
Yeah, and gets fatter and then dies of a heart attack.
Wow. Sorry, can I have Pringles?
It's too late.
You must accept your first answer.
Oh, it's so weird. You got a physical version of that?
Yeah. I wanted to do them for a video. It was a few years ago now, but yeah, I did. I did VF Fighter versus Tekken 2, Pringles, Sonic XL, and Crazy Bus. And I do believe I sent Crazy Bus to somebody already. I can't remember who ended up with that.
I do remember you doing VR Fighter versus Tekken 2, but I can't remember the others for some reason. But I vaguely remember the Sonic one. It was a few years ago, so my memory is probably fuzzy.
Yeah, it's a couple of years ago at least, yeah.
Yeah, I remember you and Dudley did that two-part video where you got that random game off of
AliExpress multi-cartridge. We did two of those in the end. Well, I've got both of them sitting here on my pile of shit to give to people. So 25 in one and a 15 in one. Yeah, those videos took a lot of effort because Dudley set up teams so we could talk and play and record both at the same time. So we had me playing on Mega Drive, he playing on Mega Drive, with two captures running into one Zoom stream or something. I can't remember. He set it up. He knows how to do stuff. And then he edited part one, I edited part two, and it's the most painful thing I've ever edited. And then we did it again the next year, so, you know.
Yeah, I remember. I remember seeing it go back again.
Oh, man.
Superb. Vogo, mate, it's been an absolute blast having you on, mate.
Thank you really so much for having me on, you two. Really it's been cool.
Been a right
great
laugh.
Great fun.
Yeah, so for those who aren't familiar, hopefully, you know, a lot of our viewers are viewers of yours anyway, but for anyone that isn't familiar, where can they find you?
If you just go on YouTube, start typing Bloggo's Pal and you'll get Stuart Ashton's video, but underneath that, there's me.
And definitely make sure you check out all of those videos. Thank you so much for watching. Thanks so much, Bloggo, for coming on.
Thank you for having me, guys. It's been great. I've loved it.
Yeah, great fun. So, yeah, if viewers, listeners, love to hear your thoughts on anything that we've spoken about today. If you want to catch us, you can catch me at super_D. You can't catch James. He's not an X anymore. He's binned it off. But you can catch the Sega Guys account at Sega Guys. And until next time, we will see you on the Sega side.
Not yet, you won't.
Oh, am I jumping the gun?
Yeah, members, mate, members.
Oh, sorry. Yes, you can. You can become a member if you want to support the show from as little as 99p, and we will always remember to read your name out in the credits afterwards. At least James will remind me if I forget. Who are our premium tier supporters today, mate?
Our premium tier members, I am Mikowski, Stiff Peaks, G-Man, Sega Saturn Lad, and Andy Mackey. Thank you very much to not just the premium members, but all our members and our supporters and subscribers. We do appreciate what you do by tuning in. As Dad said there, about 99 pence, the membership starts at. But if a monthly membership isn't your thing, not a problem. We appreciate your support and liking, sharing, subscribing, getting involved in the comments. Anything you do to get involved with the channel is greatly appreciated. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And now I will say we will see you on the Sega side. Now, naff off.
Yes, we will. Sega!